Let us call upon the name of our God together in congregational prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, truly thou art a God to be feared, and truly thy way is in the sea, in the depths of thine own good pleasure and counsel, which no man is able to fathom, which no man is able to trace, which no man is able to attain to. And truly thy way is in the sea, that in one and the same congregation, in one and the same worship service, a brother is impenitent and hard, and another brother is broken and released. That in one and the same announcement, one brother's sins are retained to him and are not remitted to him, but bound upon him, so that he is delivered to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that if it be thy will, his soul may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And another brother has his sins remitted and loosed, so that they may not be held against him. We marvel, Father, that thy way is in the sea, and that so deep are thy judgments, that thou shouldst lay this thing upon the congregation. We thank thee, Father, and that thy way which is in the sea is also a way which is in thy sanctuary, that thou dost make thyself known in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and thou dost make all thy will and counsel known in the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that we men who are not able to fathom the depths of thy good pleasure are nevertheless able by thy grace to behold that good pleasure and to understand that thou hast done all things for thy glory, that in a day such as this, thy name is lifted up, and that thou hast gotten to thyself all glory and honor and praise forever and ever through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, according to whom thou dost make division among men, so that as one thief is hardened in railing upon the Lord, so another thief is saved by the word of the Lord. And truly, Father, this is to the glory and honor of thy name. For what thou doest in our midst is divine, a glorious work that teaches each of us in our own station and calling to fear. To fear with the reverence of faith, to fear thee with the honor that is due unto thy name, to fear thee in the freedom of deliverance from our bondage through Jesus Christ and through the glad tidings of the gospel, that we sinners, we sheep who have gone astray and turned everyone to his own way, are saved and delivered by the sovereign saving work of our Good Shepherd. We pray, Father, that Thou wilt pour out upon us in this day the peace and joy of salvation. That this may be a day of rejoicing as a congregation. That it may be a day of glad tidings, of good things. That we may call to one another, come to me, I have something to say unto thee. I am a sinner. And the Lord has been pleased to save me. That it may be a day of the giving of gifts one to another. Of giving to one another the gift of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And of proclaiming one to another, my brother, the Lord has been merciful. For His mercy is as high as the heaven is above the earth. And He has removed from you your transgressions as far as east is from west. And we pray, Father, that it may be a day of the congregation resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ and in the knowledge that Thy will is good, always good, when it is Thy will that a man be hard, then that is good. And wilt Thou give us grace not to fight against Thy will? And when it is Thy will that a man is saved, then that is good. And give us grace not to fight against Thy will. We pray, Father, that Thou wilt remember the brother whose name has now been announced to us as continuing in his impenitence. We now, Father, have no company with that man, and continue the work of delivering that man to Satan, now with the knowledge of who it is. We pray, Father, that he may be ashamed, that he may be broken and pierced through with the sword of the gospel, which is sharp, sharper than any two-edged sword, which divides asunder the joints from the marrow, pierces the soul and the spirit. We pray, Father, if it is Thy will, that Thou wilt deliver the brother yet from the leaven of the Pharisees that has leavened him. We pray, Father, that Thou wilt cut that leaven out of the congregation, either through the brother's repentance and repudiation of that leaven, or through the cutting out of the brother. Truly, Father, Thy way is in the sea, and Thy way is in the sanctuary. And we beseech Thee, Father, that Thou wilt give grace unto us as a congregation, that we may take heed who think we stand lest we fall. For there is no sinner in all of the earth, whether his name is announced or not, who is as great a sinner as we confess ourselves to be. Be merciful to us and pardon all our sin in the blood of Jesus Christ. Wilt thou be also with the brother whose confession has been announced? We pray that thou wilt take hold of him and his wife in thy everlasting arms of mercy, and show him that those arms are underneath him, carrying him, that on his right and on his left thou dost stand as his God, who surrounds him, that before him goes the Good Shepherd, and that following him is thy goodness and mercy, which follow him all the days of his life, and that over him is thy banner of love, so that wherever he turns, all he can see is his Savior and his Savior's finished work. And may that be our own comfort and peace with regard to our iniquities and sins. We pray, Father, that thou wilt remember the saints and sovereign who have been greatly troubled in many months and weeks of attacks upon them, and whom thou hast delivered in these days. We pray, Father, that thou wilt remember them in this day and their office bearers, giving unto them a rich measure of thy grace and peace in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that thou wilt knit not only our congregations, but our denomination together in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we may stand upon that foundation. Thou hast promised that being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, that even the gates of hell cannot prevail against thy church. We believe this by thy Spirit in our hearts. We beseech thee, Father, that thou wilt not leave us nor forsake us, but that thou wilt establish us, that our house built upon the rock, who is Christ, may not fall down now that some winds and some storms blow. And wilt thou give unto us the Spirit of Christ, who abides in our hearts and who loves thee and who loves Christ's sheep, that Spirit who loves thee and loves Christ's sheep may also be our love for thee and for Christ's sheep. Father, wilt thou hear our prayer and answer us in thy mercy? We are sorry for our iniquities. Blot them out in Jesus' blood. As we have prayed, so we pray again and pray again. Forgive our sins and keep us from sin, giving unto us a life of gratitude, a life of love for thee, and a life of love one for another. Give us the life of the covenant, in which covenant mercies, and according to which covenant grace of thee for us, we have been saved. Wilt thou answer us in mercy now, hearing our prayer, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We worship the Lord now in the giving of our offerings. The first offering is for the general fund, and the second is for benevolence. Psalter number 140. Penitential prayers. We'll sing the four stanzas, all four of 140. We turn in God's Word this morning to Luke 15. Luke 15. We'll read verses 1 through 7, which passage is also our text this morning. Luke 15, verses 1 through 7. Then drew near unto him, that is, to Jesus, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. This is the Word of God. May He bless it to our hearts this morning. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, if you could open up the heavens right now and see the things happening there, this is what you would behold. You would see the Lord Jesus Christ sitting at the right hand of God making an announcement. Making that announcement to all of the angels in heaven. Making an announcement to all of the souls of the saints who have been made perfect and taken to heaven. Just as an announcement was read in the congregation this morning, so in heaven right now, an announcement is being made. And that announcement is regarding a sinner who has been saved. And a sinner whose mark of his salvation is his repentance and his brokenness over his sin. That announcement is being made right now in heaven. And if you could further look into heaven and listen, you would hear heaven erupt with joy, with gladness. All of the angels who hear the announcement about the things happening here on the earth, about the salvation of a sheep who was lost, those angels would erupt in joy and song and praise to Jehovah God, so that in heaven right now, not hypothetically, right now, really in heaven, there is a festival, a great festival. There is great rejoicing. The noise of it almost reaches your ears. Because you know that joy. When the announcement is read this morning, and though we are moved to tears over the goodness of God, the mercy of God, that too is part of the festival of the rejoicing of the church. This is a good day. This is a happy day for the church of Jesus Christ. A sinner has been saved and delivered. And not just one. You too. And I too. I'm saved this day by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a day for giving gifts to each other. The gift of the gospel. The gift of the glad tidings that salvation has come to sinners such as us. This is a day for making merry. Jesus says so, I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. That joy, that merriment, that rejoicing is not marred in the least by the fact that in heaven there is also another announcement. Just as in the congregation, there is another announcement. The other announcement regards a sinner who is impenitent and hardened. A sinner who says, regarding his sin, although he has been often brotherly admonished from the Word of God in the preaching and in the congregational prayers and by the work of the elders, a sinner who says, but I am just and I need no repenting. And the joy of the day is not in the least marred by the hardness of the other sinner. The joy is not marred in heaven, and the joy is not marred in the church on earth. And that is because, although we grieve over an impenitent sinner and tremble because we recognize how close we are, according to our old man, to being impenitent and hardened in sin, that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ always has this effect. It always has this effect. There is always a division made among men. And though our prayer and our desire is that the member who walks impenitently yet repent and be brought to salvation, nevertheless, the Lord teaches us that there is always the one, and there are always the 99. And Jesus says, regarding that division among men, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Beloved, you and I stand before the awesome will and good pleasure of our covenant God. We stand before His awesome will and good pleasure as that is made manifest in the Church of Jesus Christ itself. As you and I stand before that gospel, do not harden yourself. Do not harden your soul against the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. As you stand before that gospel, hear by the operation of the Spirit in your heart the glad tidings that this day salvation has come to you, the sinner. Let us hear this word of God this morning then under the theme, the one and the 99. In the first place, consider their identity. In the second place, consider their shepherd. And in the third place, consider their end. The one and the 99, their identity, their shepherd, and their end. In the passage, Jesus identifies two people in the church, two men in the church, or two groups of people in the church. In the parable that he tells, there is the one sheep that is lost. And on the other hand, there are the 99 sheep which are not lost and never were lost, but were always with the shepherd. That division runs right through the whole passage. That division begins with the publicans and the sinners on the one hand. They are the one sheep. The publicans and the sinners who drew near unto Jesus for to hear Him. All the publicans and sinners drew near unto Jesus to hear Him. And those publicans and sinners were lost sheep. Those publicans and sinners were not just. Those publicans and sinners were rebellious and wicked. They were publicans, universally reviled by society of the day as being liars, and thieves. And they were the sinners, the publicans and the sinners. And sinners captures all the rest of the notorious, despised people of the day. Sinners captures the harlots and the whores who were infamous in society for their corruption of society, for their loose living and their disgusting behavior. It includes all of those who were known as thieves in society of the day. The publicans and the sinners were not just. The publicans and the sinners were wicked. They are on the one hand. On the other hand, in the passage, are the Pharisees and the scribes. They are the 99 sheep. The Pharisees and the scribes never wandered. The Pharisees and the scribes observed the law to its finest point. The Pharisees and the scribes could stand before the people and declare, "We are just. We are just." The Pharisees and the scribes were not lost. They had not wandered. The Pharisees and the scribes could say, "We need no repentance, for we have obeyed the law of God." That's the division that the Lord Jesus Christ teaches in the passage. A division between the one on the one hand and the 99 on the other hand. The division then has to do with these men in their state. It has to do with these men as they stand before the face of Jehovah. And it has to do with these men as they stand before the face of Jehovah in their own confession and by what they themselves say, so that their state is revealed by their confession. That's the identity of the one and the 99. And that means that this passage may not be taken hold of and used as a doctrine about whether we keep this church building or get a different church building. That's how this passage is being used. The passage is being used to say, if there is one who is sick, that is the one sheep. And the 99 must leave the building and rent a place, or find a place, where all 100 can be together. There is no doubt that that is the desire of the congregation, to be together. There is no doubt that that is the labor of the council. But that is not the doctrine of the passage. And now I warn you, with regard to the use of Scripture by members of the congregation that this is characteristic, that Scripture is taken and twisted. Violence is done to it. Violence is done to it in such a way that we might be deceived. Do not be deceived. The parable of the one and the 99 is not a parable that teaches what to do with a church building. The identity of the sheep has to do with their spiritual state as they stand before the face of Jehovah. And that spiritual state as it is revealed in their confession. What was the spiritual state of the 99? The 99 stood before the face of Jehovah. They stood before the law of God. Jesus indicates that they stood before Jehovah's face and before the law when he refers to them in verse 7 as the 99 just persons. The 99 just persons means that as they stood before the law, they could say about their own life with that law, we are just with regard to the law. We measure up with regard to the law. So that when Jehovah looks upon us, he sees our righteousness. He sees all our obedience. These were the 99. Their confession was, we are just. And therefore their confession was, we need no repentance. The 99 here do not represent other members of the church who live a regular life. The members of the church live a regular life by God's grace. But the 99 do not represent God's elect who live a regular life. The 99 are those who by their confession stand before the law and say, I am just by what I have done. They are the 99 who, according to their appearance, have never left the law. Who by their appearance have never broken the law. Who by their appearance and who by their confession have always remained with Jehovah. They are the 99. They are the Pharisees. They are the scribes. They are those who have taught regarding themselves, we are righteous in ourselves. Those 99 were angry. They were furious with Jesus. As recorded in verse 2, the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And their offense was not so much this, that Jesus received them, those sinners, but their offense was this, that when Jesus received those sinners, Jesus said to the Pharisees and scribes, I do not receive you. And the Pharisees and scribes were worthy of being received. They were worthy of having a great teacher and a great miracle worker sit down and eat with them. Everybody knew they were worthy of that. They knew they were worthy of that. All men knew they were worthy of that. There was no one like them in all Israel, these Pharisees and these scribes. Their confession, as they stood before Jehovah, is that they were worthy in themselves and that they were just. That they needed no repentance. That confession of theirs reveals their spiritual state. Their spiritual state as they stood in their own righteousness before the face of Jehovah is that they were condemned. They were not just as they confessed. They were not right with God according to His law as they said. they were condemned as unjust and unrighteous by Jehovah God. They were the 99 who were left in the wilderness. They were the 99 who were not carried on the shoulders of the shepherd to his home and to his family to be rejoiced over. They were the 99, the Pharisees and the scribes, and all who confess regarding their own sins, but I need no repentance, and I am just before God for what I have done. They were the 99 who were unrighteous and condemned. That's their state before Jehovah God as revealed by their own confession. And who was the one? The one also stood before Jehovah. The one also stood before the law of God with all of its demands. And as that one stood before Jehovah, he said, I'm a publican. I'm a publican. He said, I'm a sinner, a harlot, a thief, a murderer, a liar, an idolater, a coveter, a blasphemer. I'm a publican. And I am a sinner. By his own confession, he declared, I in myself cannot be right with God. I in myself cannot. That one was the publicans and the sinners who drew near unto Jesus to hear him. That one is the member of the church who stands before the law of God and says, I am a liar. I am a liar. The law has shown me so. My God has revealed it to me. That's the one. And that's the 99. The one and the 99 have a shepherd. In the parable, as Jesus tells it, all 100 sheep have a shepherd. And that shepherd is the same shepherd. With regard to the 99, that shepherd is theirs only by what they say. They claim him as their shepherd. The 99 say, we belong to Jehovah. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. The 99 claim Jehovah as their shepherd. But the 99 lie. Jehovah is not the shepherd of the 99. The shepherd leaves those 99 in the wilderness. That's no place to leave a flock of sheep. In the wilderness, the sheep perish. In the wilderness, they have no water. They have no pasture. They have no protection from the hungry animals that prowl the wilderness. When Jesus tells the parable and says about the 99 that he leaves the 99 in the wilderness, he is saying about the Pharisees and the scribes who claimed their own righteousness before God, Jehovah is not your shepherd. He's not your shepherd. You do not belong to him. In fact, the shepherd hates you. and his intent is to destroy you. That's Jesus' word about the 90 and 9. He leaveth them in the wilderness because he is not their shepherd. And this leaving of the 90 and 9 happens through the preaching of the gospel and through the Christian discipline that is tied inseparably to the preaching of the gospel. And the preaching of the gospel is on the foreground in this passage. Verse 1, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. They came to hear him because he was saying something. He was proclaiming the gospel of Jehovah God. That's all Jesus ever spoke. We learned that in Mark 1. Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom. That gospel of the kingdom is the revelation of the will of God to gather to himself all his elect people in Jesus Christ and to establish them as his own kingdom where he dwells. It is the revelation of the will of God to deliver his people from the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of death in this world, and to bring his people to himself as his own holy people, as his own peculiar chosen people. That was the gospel that Jesus Christ proclaimed. That's all he ever said. So that when the publicans and sinners drew near to Jesus to hear him, that's a reference to Jesus preaching the gospel. And the scribes and the Pharisees heard that very same gospel. They heard the same proclamation of the love of God for his people in Jesus Christ. They heard the same proclamation of the kingdom of heaven and the grace of that kingdom that saves his own, delivers them from their sin and death, from their publicanism, from their harlotry, from their lying and their thieving and their stealing, and all of their iniquity, and brings them to God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The Pharisees and the scribes heard that very same gospel. And when they heard that gospel, they hated it. They were hardened by it. So that the preaching of the gospel closed the kingdom of heaven to them. That preaching of the gospel declared to them, you're 99. You need no repentance. You are just and righteous in yourself. You are outside the kingdom. The preaching of the gospel reveals men. The preaching of the gospel brings to light men so that they are exposed as enemies of the gospel. So that they are exposed as haters of Jehovah. And the preaching of the gospel reveals men as enemies of Jehovah according to God's own decree of reprobation. That's what the church deals with in the preaching of the gospel. By the preaching of the gospel, as our catechism says, the kingdom of heaven is shut against unbelievers. It is shut against those who are hardened in their iniquities and will not repent. When the preaching of the gospel declares the goodness of God to His people, that preaching of the gospel excludes from the kingdom of heaven all who stand before the face of Jehovah and say, I am just in myself. I need no repentance. The preaching of the gospel does that according to God's own eternal good pleasure and decree. The church's desire with regard to men that we know is that they yet be saved in the day of Jesus Christ, that they who now by the preaching and by discipline are delivered to Satan for the destruction of their flesh may yet be saved in the day of Jesus Christ. The preaching of the gospel will work that too for all of God's elect according to His decree and grace. When the church sees, in response to the preaching of the gospel and the administration of the sacraments and Christian discipline that always go with the preaching of the gospel, when the church sees men harden and their sin, the church must not be dismayed. The church must not let that interrupt her feast of joy in the salvation that Jehovah God brings to His people. The Lord Himself says that there are 90 and 9, that those 90 and 9 need no repentance, that those 90 and 9 are just persons by their own confession, by their own pride. The Lord Himself says that there shall be such. The Lord also teaches that the preaching of the gospel saves and delivers His own infallibly, inevitably, graciously and powerfully. Jesus Christ is the shepherd of His people. He is the shepherd of all of those whom the Lord has chosen from the foundation of the world, who in eternity has decreed, these are mine, and I give them to my Lord Jesus Christ. And the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in delivering His elect is powerful and sovereign. The passage fairly shouts the sovereignty of Christ in salvation. The passage doesn't know anything of some sense of man preceding God in the salvation of His people. There's a sheep who's lost. That sheep isn't looking for the Savior. He's lost. He's gone. Destroyed as far as that sheep is concerned. And the shepherd leaves the 90 and 9 and goes after that which is lost. Jesus does that. He goes after that which is lost. And He findeth that which is lost. That's you who stand before the law in the face of Jehovah and say, I am unrighteous in myself, I'm ungodly. I have broken every commandment. The Lord has come to you to save you from your sin. He did that on the cross. That was the Lord leaving the 99 in the wilderness and going to find that which was lost. Upon the cross, taking upon Himself all of the iniquity, the stealing, the fornication, the idolatry, the blasphemy, the lying, the coveting, the image worship, the rebellion. He took all of that upon His own shoulders of His own people and bore the curse of God, the whole curse of God. Jesus Christ came to find His people by the preaching of the gospel, which reveals to God's people that work, that finished work of Christ. And He came to find His people by the Holy Spirit whom He gives to take that gospel and knit it to our hearts and teach us that truth and apply it to us and comfort us in that gospel. When you stand before the judgment seat of God and His law thunders and says, "Thou shalt and thou shalt not," you say regarding yourself before that tribunal of God, "But I am ungodly. I am ungodly." The gospel of Jesus Christ says to you, "Behold Jesus Christ. He's godly. He's godly." When you say, "I am a liar," the gospel teaches you, "But behold Jesus Christ, who is the truth." When you say, "I am a blasphemer," the gospel teaches you, "Behold Jesus Christ, who never blasphemed." And that preaching of the gospel, carried to you by the Spirit, saves you from your sin. Delivers you from all your guilt and shame. Gives to you the peace of heaven and the joy of heaven. The sovereign work of the Savior accomplishes all of the salvation of the people of God. That's for you, as it is for your brother next to you, for your fellow member of the congregation. That's all we've ever stood on. That's all we ever can stand on. You confess about yourself, "I'm that one who is a sinner, and my Savior is righteous." And that's the confession of your brother in the Church of Jesus Christ. That's your unity. That's your peace. Nothing else than that is your unity and your peace in the gospel of Christ. The end for the one and the 99 is that the 99 are left in the wilderness. The 99 perish. Behold the severity of the justice of God, and praise Him for His just severity. All whom He has rejected shall perish. And they must. And they must. That you may know, you who are delivered by the gospel, the power of God, they must perish, that you and I may know that all that we have received is by grace and the goodness and mercy of Jehovah God alone, so that all our life We confess, but I am nothing. I am nothing. My Savior alone is all things. He is all things to me. He is my wisdom. He is my righteousness. He is my sanctification. He is my redemption. The 99 must perish that the one might know the goodness and the mercy and the grace of God to him. And the end of the one is that he has the joy and peace of heaven itself. You peel back the heavens to see what's happening there. It's a festal day in heaven, in the salvation of the sinner. And that festal day is your day. The beginning of eternal joy that you have in the covering of all your sins. It's not a day of shame. It's not a day of guilt. It's a day of the covering of guilt and the covering of shame. The rejoicing in the salvation of Jehovah God. And that beginning of eternal joy is yours forever and ever. What you hear by faith now in the rejoicing of heaven, you shall go to heaven and be part of and rejoice in forever and ever. Beloved, if you could peel back heaven right now, you would see the great rejoicing of the citizens of heaven at the announcement of your salvation. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we thank thee for thy word to us this morning. Apply it to our hearts and comfort us by it. And teach us, Father, our salvation in Christ, that we might forever acknowledge and praise thy goodness and thy mercy which thou hast shown to us, the sinner.